You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
It is my honor to award the 2027 All-Star Game to the Chicago Cubs and Wrigley Field. The game will be played here July 13, 2027. The amazing transformation that has taken place of Wrigley Field and indeed Wrigleyville will provide a great setting for one of our most important events.
That was Rob Manfred making the big announcement. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And come hang out in Wrigleyville, Rob Manfred. We can fix you up. It's not just cool souffle pancakes like Japan, but I think we've got a pretty good thing going here. And for more, I feel like it's been a while since we talked because the Cubs charity for a cure radiothon raised over $750,000 since we last spoke. Crane Kenny, you're back with us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Thanks again for coming on.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. And thanks to your station, Mitch, and obviously Danny. $750,000 blew past last year's raise, and now the baton's in our hands, and we take it tomorrow, and I think we're going to go well north of $2 million after doing $1 million last year. So that's really special.
A reminder, incredible.
We're at $762,792 as of right now. As you said, you can keep on texting through Cure25. Text that to 41444, or you can call 773-388-8270 to speak with Cubs Fan Services. Keep the money coming in.
And also, Crane, just I think that's a really good point just to start is when you consider how charity dollars are not as plentiful as they have been in years past. And for the radio station here and then Cubs fans and listeners to be able to do all of this in a year where we haven't seen that as much, what do you think of just that ability that everybody was able to chip in this way?
Yeah, no, I think some of it's an honor to Rhino. This week was, so much about him. There's some really weird circumstances. We had chosen the date for the All-Star Game announcement 6 months ago. We chose the date for the Cubs for a Cure in December. We chose the date for the Rhino flip-up glasses giveaway today, probably in November. And then Rhino passes this week, and all of these events are happening the same week. We're obviously mourning his loss, but also celebrating his life. And all of it comes together on a Friday 1:20 game at Wrigley. There's some grace to that. And I think we're all taking some comfort in, the game he loved so much, in the ballpark he cared about so much, and having the commissioner here to celebrate his life. It was cathartic today. It was a good day.
It has been a cathartic week, Crane, and I just know that today this announcement that the All-Star Game is coming back to Wrigley Field for the first time since 1990 is a bit of a shot in the arm for everyone involved. And I know so much went into this. How pleased are you, and how exciting is it to have the All-Star Game scheduled to come back now in 2027?
It's huge for us. You know, the renovation of Wrigley was many years in the making. We first went to Rob to ask for the game in 2017. Was our visit to his office in New York to say, hey, the project should probably finish sometime around 19 or 20. What a great way to cap the project by, you awarding the All-Star Game. Then obviously COVID happened and a bunch of other things, and we just couldn't quite get there. We had a real serious security issue here at Wrigley. I'm a broken record on wanting to close the streets. Every year the league scores its 30 ballparks for security and terrorism protection, and we're usually the last because we have active streets during games. You guys have been up here. Like on a game day, there's a U-Haul trailer rolling down Addison Street, and if it were full of fertilizer or other hazardous things and somebody took a U-turn at the main gate, like, not great. And huge shout out to the governor, the mayor, city council. I was asking to close the streets, and as you know, the alderman has been against that, saying, that would really hurt the commercial businesses up and down the streets. And so they came up with the idea of installing the bollards on the public way and providing protection in a different way. So big credit to them. And that helped Rob get to the point where he gave us the game. And now we're going to celebrate in 2027.
Nice ringtone there in the background. I had to laugh at that. It was a nice little exclamation point to the end of that statement. But I do think that's something that you told us. It's not like pivoting a kayak. It's more like turning a barge when it comes to security and bureaucracy and discussion and whose responsibility is this street and whose responsibility is securing this part of this town. I think there's a lot of that we probably as sports fans aren't necessarily aware of. How much of that did have to take place in order to get to this ultimate point?
Yeah, it's a great point, Layla. So Addison is actually a state road. Clark is a city road, as is Waveland and Sheffield. So you had, the state involved with needing to support, and we need to relocate some utilities to do all this work. We're going to widen the sidewalk a little bit. So you needed the state on board, you needed the city on board, you needed funding. I mean, real issue here is this is a $25 million project. Now, we've seen bollards installed elsewhere around the city, so they know how to do it. So it wasn't really a know-how. It was just we needed financing, we needed cooperation from the city and state. And obviously the mayor and the governor have a lot of big issues on their plates. This is probably not on the first page of issues that they have to deal with, but they did. And then Rob did his thing. And like, so now think about it. Like, I'm not from Chicago originally, but I claim it now as my town. And there is no better place in the world than Chicago in the summer. And to bring our game, we've been strategizing. We're going to use Navy Pier for the Fan Fest. We're going to use Millennium Park for the draft. We'll use North Avenue Beach. I mean, we're going to use all of the assets that showcase our city so well, and inviting the world in, because this is really a world production, to see Chicago in the middle of the summer from the very best vantage points. I just can't wait to do that. It's going to be fun.
I know it's been a process, and to culminate to round third base, if you will, since we're talking baseball, to use baseball terms, and to finally slide into home has got to be a feeling. What's the energy like there in the building for getting across the finish line for this?
Yeah, I think it's two things. We've kind of had the deal done with the league. One of the big issues, I'll tell you, that we had to wrestle with is our season ticket holders. So what happens, as I mentioned already, so it's the world comes to Chicago in 2027, and the league, in order to satisfy its needs and the needs of the other 29 clubs, needs access to our best seating inventory. We are fortunate to have so many season ticket holders. We had a long negotiation with the league about how do we protect the rights of our season ticket holders to see this game, many of whom have waited 37 years to see it. So there's a lot of negotiations, but we finished all of that about 3 weeks ago, right before the Atlanta game. I went down and we kind of shook hands on all the final issues down in Atlanta. So then it was about, okay, now the work that's in front of us, staging, it's not just the game. It's a kind of a week of activity. I think the league will install themselves in Chicago beginning in February to get ready for a July game. So it's going to be, based on Derek Schiller's report, he's the president of the Braves, it'll be kind of a year of activity to get ready for this week of games. So we know a lot of work ahead of us, but for now it's celebrating. And you know, we love our ballpark. You know, we feel strongly about it. And allowing the commissioner allowing us to share it with the world, that's a cool thing.
We're talking to Crane Kenny here on 670 The Score and Rahimi and Harris. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Crane, I don't think it's going to surprise you that we have a lot of fans texting in. They were asking because they want to make plans. You know, everybody's excited about this. They want to make plans for 2027. They also know, though, that there's been a lot of discussion about the CBA being up at the end of 2026. What is the plan when it comes to trying to figure that out? Because people are asking us, what's the alternative plan if there is a work stoppage? That's a long time if it lasts until July. But I know that that's something where if they thought about it, you guys thought about it too.
Yeah. So the league typically grants games 2 years in advance. So we know already that Philadelphia's got the next game, and then we would have 27. They'll grant the 28 game next year. So in 2026, they'll do because again, the planning takes so long. Someone will get 28, 29 will be open. You know, last thing in the world we need is a work stoppage. If it were to happen in 27 and we were to lose the game, you know, 29 would be open. And we've talked to Rob about, you know, would 29 then be our game? And he didn't quite say yes, but I think we saw this with Atlanta. Remember, they had the game originally scheduled. See, what year was it? 22. And then they had a number of issues and had to cancel that game. I think it then went to Seattle. And so then they got it. They got the 25 game. So let's not talk about, I mean, today we're focused on 27. And I certainly don't want to let my head go too far down a path of a work stoppage, because that would be devastating for our game and our players and our fans. But we're playing on 27. And if that doesn't happen for any reason, you know, we'd have a backup.
Got it.
I'm guessing we're having as hard a time of getting tickets now for the rest of this season as any season in recent memory, just because of how good the Cubs have been. They start the day right there, a game out of the best record in all of baseball. I'm curious as to what the demand has been like lately. You talked about the Red Sox series being the highest, you know, demand maybe of all time in terms of a series. Where are we now with that 5-game series we got coming up against the Brewers and some of the other series that we are looking at right now, Crane?
Yeah, we're again, our fan base has been so supportive. I think the team, it's a really captivating team, right? Winning team for sure, but just the way we play, I think it's such a great brand of baseball. We're fortunate. We're well sold through kind of early September. We typically have a kind of a moment when the kids go back to school in late August or September, that sales then depend on the success of the team. And with a successful team, September is selling quite well. That 5-game series with Milwaukee, I'm trying to remember when it was. We had a late season, I think it was a 4-gamer with them, and I believe it was in Milwaukee, that was really pivotal. But the world will be focused, certainly Cub world will be focused on Wrigley Field for those 4 days and 5 games. That'll be, and for your business, I think, you know, you'll have plenty to talk about for 4 days.
Well, yeah, it kicks off with Matt Spiegel singing the national anthem on the first day of the series. You know, that unfortunately got postponed because of the rain. You have that to look forward to, too.
Well, Matt actually can carry that off. That'll be one of our better renditions, I have a feeling.
I'm sure he'll love to hear that. We are looking forward to it. And even Danny Parkins during the radiothon, we had some fun with it as well, because those were some of the tickets we were giving away. Were that Brewers series. Yeah, as a business person, I'm sure that is something that you consider. Yeah, I hear the reaction there. But that was part of what bidders were asking for and donating for.
Yeah, I got to tell you, so our players, I just saw counts before I came in to do the All-Star Game announcement. Our players are so supportive. You know, I heard the PCA piece, Brad Keller, I mean, all of them giving either gloves, meet and greets, autographs, tickets. It's just such a good clubhouse, led by Counts, obviously, at the top, and his relationship he had with Danny and Danny's brother. I was really proud of the organization as a whole. The Ricketts family, very supportive as always. And then we did a big match here at Wrigley, led by all the four Ricketts family members, and then Jed and I. And, you know, kind of top to bottom, it was fully supportive. I think we'll have something like 96% participation by our staff members, each contributing something.
Wow.
And then huge gifts from our corporate partners. Our new partner, AbbVie, came in with $250,000. Cologuard came in with $100,000. American Airlines with $100,000. Like, you know, reaching into their own pockets to support something that's important to us and obviously anyone who's battling this disease. So a lot of good feelings around here right now.
Crane Kenny, the Cubs business operation, president of business operations, joining us here on Raheemy and Harris as we talk about the All-Star Game officially awarded by Rob Manfred and Company to the city of Chicago and Wrigley Field in 2027. You talk about partnerships. I had to ask you because I was shocked that Danny Parkins, who, granted, 24 hours, no sleep, I don't know what kind of mental state he was in, but he had never heard of the Yeti Yard. And I want to ask you if that particular partnership has exceeded expectations in terms of popularity. Because I said, as soon as it was announced, I was like, this is going to be the most popular thing that's happened in Wrigley Field in recent memory.
All right, Marshall, we got to get you on our staff here because you predicted it more than we did. It was the first asset sold out this year when you look at the clubs, suites, and other, we call them premium spaces.
Right.
Have you guys been out there?
No.
Have we had you out there yet?
But
no.
You can have us out anytime you want.
And we want to go, but you know, we also understand that like paying customers deserve to have
their
experiences.
Space, yeah.
Like we know we get to go to games a lot of the time for free. We try to be respectful of it.
Yeah, but you guys are celebrities. We can come by. They'd love to have a visit. So let's talk to Mitch. It's, you know, and again, I'm 62 years old, so like I can't really relate to the current bleacher population. But what it does is it gives old timers like me who used to spend time in the bleachers who just can't do it these days a way to have the bleacher experience, the energy, the sort of open GA feel, the noise, the proximity to the field, the relationship you have with the outfielders. You get all of it. But with the creature comforts that, like, I can't sit on a bench for 3 hours. Like, I just can't do it. And we didn't, you know, we were experimenting with it. It was a long, weird story about how the space was returned to us. And we said, yeah, this could be cool. And then I think by April 8th, every date was gone. And right now we're actually looking at how we would enlarge it for next year.
And you should definitely enlarge it.
Even
I'm here
Jameson
for that.
Tyone was talking about going if he was able, you know, that's the power of this thing.
Yeah. Sometimes we're smart. Sometimes we're lucky. This one was definitely the latter.
It does sound like a great environment. I think the bleachers are fun because kind of like sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. We do know who sits in the bleachers. And to be in Chicago and have that that relationship with a lot of people where you know somebody who that's their seat, I think that's not very common. I can't imagine what they're going to be like for All-Star 2027. I can't wait to hear the pitches they have to try to remain in the bleachers for those games, but something tells me they'll be into it as well.
Well, think about this. Like I was down in Atlanta, and you know, I was kind of keeping track of how many balls like would have flown out of Wrigley during batting practice and then the home run derby itself. So like for the Ball Hawks on Waveland and Sheffield, I mean, is it going to be like 200 baseballs flying out of the ballpark? And like, what's that scene going to look like? I mean, so we have, you know, because the small footprint for the ballpark and the fact that we're right on top of the city streets, you know, there'll be some unique things that happen in Wrigley at the All-Star Game that probably have never happened, you know, anywhere else.
It feels like it's going to be Sosa McGuire levels of chasing down balls for people out there in the streets, and the streets will be packed. I don't know. I don't know what the new security issues details are on, like, who can be where outside, but if they're allowed, there's going to be people everywhere out there.
All of Wrigleyville. I mean, we had a little taste of this when the World Series was here. And I mean, for you guys probably had some feel for it. Like you couldn't look down a street and not see, you know, 8,000 people. And so we're gonna do that in the midsummer, which should be fun.
Well, and also Crane, while we have you on, it was such an emotional day yesterday, and I know that was hard to talk to us about not just being in the media and being in an interview for the first time for a lot of people since Rhino's passing, but also the reception that was that you guys got, what we heard about what's going on Saturday was so well received. I think for everybody who may not have heard it or they want to know what more they can do, I know the Cubs are wearing number 23 tomorrow for Rhino. It continues the weekend that we have of charity with the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. Is there anything else you want people to know about Saturday's game specifically? Because I do think there's a lot of fans who are either going or there's something that they want to do, not just by donating to help, but maybe in-game participation. What would you say?
Well, so yeah, it's going to be his day. We've got the field stenciled down for today. We're going to run a tribute video today and a moment of silence today. So the way the 2 days will break up, today will be a little more solemn in the way we do it. Sean Dunstan is here, you know, his partner. I saw Sean for the All-Star game and we had an honest talk about what Rhino meant to him. So we're going to have him deliver second base today. And, you know, so today will be probably a little more solemn. Tomorrow is going to be more of a celebration of Rhino. So still the stencil and the batting practice shirts, but then all the guys wearing, you know, I think that's such a great message. I literally talked to Ryan a week ago when I saw him last about, I said, hey, we're going to wear 23 in your honor. And players had been doing that. Lester threw out a first pitch with 23 on. Woody did it as well. Everybody was kind of wearing 23. And I said, hey, we're thinking about which jersey. And he goes, definitely the blue and no names on them. So he you know, even in his final week, he was directing the show. Like, he didn't like the names on the back of the jersey. He thought, you know, you play for the name on the front. So we're honoring his wishes. Navy blue. No names, everybody having 23. Only Ryan's flag will fly on the fall poles.
Oh. Wow.
We'll take down Billy and Ernie and everyone else. And, you know, we're going to send a message. And I think 40,000 people cheering, cheering for him. And then we've got some really great moments. Seventh inning stretch going to be sung by a cancer survivor. Actually, I think you had him on the air today. A WGN
Mike Lowe.
Talent. Yeah.
Love Mike. That's so wonderful.
Yeah, top to bottom. Tribute to Rhino and to all of those who've been battling cancer. Like, I think we're going to more than double what we raised last year, which is just, you know, such a credit to Danny. Like, this idea was born literally sitting in the bleacher or in the grandstand at Wrigley. He had just finished his radiothon for food insecurity, and we were mourning the loss of Lynn Bramer, your colleague from XRT, and I said, hey, what if we married your radiothon with my cancer tribute to Lynn, but raise money instead? And literally eating a hot dog in the stands, he's like, let's do it. And then never knew he was going to leave the score, but then to come back and just keep it going. What a huge respect for Danny. He's just such a good dude. And we're doing good in the community. So all worked out.
Thank you so much, Crane. I know this has been such a roller coaster when you consider All-Star, when you consider this weekend. Just let us know what we need to do. You know, Navy Blue and 23 on Saturday. And let us know where the party's at in 2027. You got to give us the updates.
Thanks so much, Crane.
You got it. First thing though, I need to get you out to the yard. So I'm literally going to text Mitch when I hang up and we'll find a date that works for you.
Oh my gosh. That is too kind. And in the meantime, you know, thank you for this. Thank you for being on with us about the announcements and please, you know, as this date grows closer, people want to know what's happening and they want to know where they can celebrate with a festival that is baseball in 2027. Congratulations again on the All-Star game and congratulations for raising $750,000. For cancer research.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. That was Crane Kenny covering a lot of topics with us here on 670 The Score and Raheem and Harris. And we got to hit a break because we're behind schedule. Sadhav Sharma of The Athletic, who also had Jed Hoyer on the Northside Territory podcast prior to the deadline. I want to hear what he has to say about the Cubs' moves. So let's talk to a man who knows a thing or two about him. Sadhav next here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's not about my contract. It's not about those guys. It's about what we feel like is the right thing to do, you know, for the organization. You know, the goal is to be good every year. That's the goal. The goal is not to have massive up and down cycles. And, you know, I think that that's been the focus, is to try to build something that's sustainable, that we can do this year after year. And I think we can certainly do that.
That was Jed Hoyer. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. The day after the trade deadline. It is August 1st. Did you pay your rent?
I did not.
I haven't.
Mine's an auto draft on the 4th of the month.
We got paid today.
I should do auto pay. But
yeah, I do auto pay.
Okay, so we'll figure that out amongst ourselves. And in the meantime, we go to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. That is where we find our friend, the man behind the Northside Territory podcast. He also writes, of course, for The Athletic, Sahadev Sharma, who is here with us. And Sahadev, I think a lot about the interview you and Patrick Mooney did with Jed Hoyer leading up to yesterday's trade deadline. Jed talked about being creative. He talked about a lot of the possibilities. Given that interview and what you heard today and yesterday from Jed, what do you think about the moves the Cubs made?
Yeah, it feels like they fell a little short. I think the moves make them a better team. I think everyone was expecting a more impactful starting pitcher. That didn't happen. Makes it feel like it was incomplete. But I appreciate Jed's point about the prices. I don't think this was, to a degree, you can argue that there was some prospect clinging when it comes to rentals. But I think guys like Mackenzie Gore, Joe Ryan, Edward Cabrera, I think you're talking about guys on the major league rosters that they were asking for, that's who they were leading with. And that's really hard to do. If you get rid of Matt Shaw, if you get rid of Cade Horton, what does that do not only for the present, but for the future? I think that's pretty, those are some pretty impactful players that you'd be giving up for what one could argue is a marginal upgrade when you're removing from the major league roster.
You talk about marginal upgrades, and I focus on this. I think the Cubs are an excellent offense in that, while they're not perfect, because no team is perfect offensively, they've been the best offense in Major League Baseball over the course of the season. The only place I really saw the upgrade possible based on what was available was Eugenio Suarez at third base. It doesn't sound like the Cubs were really heavily involved, in large part because he was just a rental.
Yeah, I think Seattle gave up a lot for Suarez. I know these aren't like household name prospects, but That was a hefty price for 2 months of a rental. I think because the offense is so good, they weren't as desperate as a team like Seattle that been, you know, for years, Seattle has had really good pitching and not enough offense. And it seems like they've made two really good moves to upgrade their offense and make sure they have a better
chance. Sahadev, I'm sorry. I think we need to clean up the line really quick because we're hearing a ton of background noise and not enough of him. And then I'm pretty sure I heard a Bluetooth mess up there. Like maybe he's on AirPods or something along those lines. So we're going to clean up the line and hopefully get him back right here. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We talk about the Major League trade deadline that was and some things that did not happen, was not for the Cubs. And we get you ready for Cubs baseball, by the way. That's happening at the bottom of the 12 o'clock hour here on The Score.
And some news from a Taylor McGregor tweet as she gets some availability with Craig Counsell before the game. Michael Soroka will, quote unquote, likely start for the Cubs on Monday. So he might not just be the bulk guy that I thought, but I mean, this could be bulk, but as a starter as opposed to an opener than Michael Soroka. Soroka, by the way, has pitched 16 games this year, all starts for the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, and he was one of those guys that we thought was going to be utilized like a Chris Flexen. So that's something that I also want to ask Sahadev about if his line gets cleaned up. Ray's still working on it with him. There are gremlins in Sahadev's phone. Is that what I am to understand? Oh, no, the Cylons got to him? Okay, the gremlins and Cylons have reportedly been removed. Sahadev, can you hear us now?
Sorry about that. I'm trying to sneak in a workout here, and I thought my gym is usually much quieter in the lobby, and it seemed like there was a party going on and like a bunch of cleaning machines. It was bad.
Get your work in, though. I like that you're getting your work in.
I love that the background noise was so aggressive that you. Okay, we just mentioned this. This is from Taylor McGregor. We get the report that one of the Cubs' trade deadline acquisitions, Michael Soroka, likely to start on Monday. And then we're asking, well, how are they going to use him, the Cubs? Because Flexen gets a DFA, as we know. We know he's a sometimes starter, yep, bulk guy. You know, how do you see Soroka, for example, fitting in here?
Yeah, I think he's going to make starts until someone like Jameson Taillon is ready. And then they'll have a decision to make. Do they like what Soroka is giving them? Do they stick with Colin Ray? I think my concern with Soroka is the fastball velocity dip. That was a major concern for me. I liked the potential of an acquisition about 2 weeks ago when I saw that there was interest, when I heard that there was interest, and I looked at his numbers. I was like, oh, this is a guy that you put in front of the Cubs defense, take him out of Washington. It looks a lot better. The fastball dipped significantly. That's concerning. I don't know if that's fatigue. I don't know if that's precursor to an injury. But I also think that he's hugely valuable in like multi-inning bursts. And when you have a manager like Craig Counsell, you can be creative and you can trust that he'll use these players as best as possible and put them in positions to succeed. He hammers this home. I asked Jed Hoyer, you know, what's Soroka's role without using the word outgetter. Can you tell us what his role is? And he instantly went to outgetter because that's like Craig Counsell has hammered that into everybody in this organization. He's hammered it to us. When we ask, he'll joke with us. He's like, you guys are setting yourselves up. Like, you know what my answer is, and it's outgetter. That's what everyone's role is, that's the pitcher. So how they'll use him is they're going to piece it together to try and get 27 outs. I don't, you know, having a starter, having a guy that can go 6, 7, 8 innings,
oh, no,
is rare.
Oh, no.
Did you lose me again?
Cylons, gremlins, and the like got to Sahadev, didn't they?
No, I can hear him fine.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sahadev. I think, oh, it's a short in my headphone.
No,
I'm
no,
so sorry.
Okay. Sahadev,
I got worried. I'm not moving. I was like, I'm standing still trying to make sure that I don't lose you guys. What was I saying? You don't have the 7, 8 inning guys as prevalent as you used to 2 decades ago. So you have to piece it together. It's not ideal. It can wear down a bullpen, but it's been proven over and over again that it can work in today's game. So I think, you know, putting aside the disappointment of not getting that no-doubt starter, I think they did make themselves better, and they did something to kind of avoid guys getting worn down. You don't want to have to lean on Brad Keller and Daniel Palencia and Caleb Beelbar too much. You saw like some things going on with Drew Pomerantz that said, can he keep this up? Well, now you have another lefty to lean on in that sixth or seventh inning to get through those pockets. I think that's really important. And keeping those guys, those three big guys rested, I think Kittredge, Rogers, and Soroka all help with that.
So looking at that whip of 1.131 and his FIP of 4.111, which is significantly lower than the ERA of 4.87, I like him in whatever role Craig Counsell can figure out with Soroka. My other question as far as the acquisitions and roles, now Willy Castro, how much do you see him being used as a starter, and where will he kind of float around, if you will, to give some guys some breathing room as far as rest?
Yeah, I'm curious to see that, exactly how much he plays, how often he's playing. I haven't seen the lineup today. I'm going to assume he's not. I'm looking at it right now. He's not in the lineup today. I'm a little surprised by that with the lefty on the mound. I know he's supposed to be active and playing today or available today. So I'm surprised to not see him in the lineup. Maybe Craig Counsell's just giving him a day to acclimate the thing. But I do think he's going to play a lot against lefties. I think he's going to give Ian Happ rest, Matt Shaw rest. We'll see, you know, the others. Does this allow Kyle Tucker to maybe get off his feet more often? They've been doing that a lot anyways, making sure he DHs. It's insurance for if Pete Armstrong gets hurt. Anyone up the middle, really, defensively, that there's insurance there and you feel a little bit better. But I think those up the middle guys are just going to play pretty much every day, and then you have insurance here with Willy Castro. It's a nice piece. You needed someone versatile because Brujan obviously got DFA'd and wasn't getting the job done, and John Birdie isn't getting the job done, not offensively.
And I think that's a part of it too, Sahadev, is that we saw the Cubs say these people at X positions just weren't good enough. You know, the DFA of Ryan Pressly, for example, and I don't know about you, but I immediately thought of what happened with Hector Neris last year. Yeah. And so they decided, we're going to go and try to improve at some of these positions. Then you saw that with the bench. I feel like that was a clear and defined answer. We saw that with pitchers who have flexible roles, you know, but we didn't necessarily see that in the what is the good to great move. And I think a lot of other teams made some of those at this trade deadline.
I'm sorry, I missed what the question was. You kind of broke up in my ear.
Oh, this is what I get for invoking the name of the Cylons. All hell is breaking loose. I feel like the Cubs did clearly make some upgrades at clear positions, but I don't necessarily know that that was the case when it comes to like a good to great move, which you saw a lot of contending teams do at the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, I think my favorite move is the Castro move. I think that could have surprising impact, and I do think you're absolutely right. There's nothing that blows anyone's doors off here. I don't think there's an exciting move. Sometimes that's okay. Sometimes I guess I go back to what Jed Hoyer has said, what a lot of people in Craig Counsell talks about this. It's 2 months of baseball. We don't know who's going to, like, Eugenio Suarez could suddenly strike out 35% of the time in the final 2 months and not be this home run hitting machine, right? We just don't know what happens in 2 months. I go back to 2020, and that's not a good sample of a real baseball season. You know, we played out this 60-game season, but you look at those samples, it doesn't really tell you anything about those players. So we could get 2 months where some of these guys just play out of their minds, and Willy Castro is one of the most important players on this team. And that's how random this is. And you have to get a little bit of luck. I think these are good ads, luck or not. I think you can look at them and say these are perfectly fine additions. They could play out of their minds for 2 months, and suddenly you're talking about, like, what an addition player X was. That's just how this trade deadline is. And then it's all out the window come October. You don't know. You need the stars. You need the really good players. You need Shota and Matthew Boyd to pitch really well, and then you need some surprises. You need somebody to, you know, have a Marco Scudero type postseason. There's always someone random that steps up and helps you win a World Series or helps you win a series, and the Cubs are going to need that. Every team that goes deep is going to need that. You're not just getting by on the big name.
You're right about that, Zahada, for sure. I am sorry that technology gremlins got to us in our segment, but I appreciate your patience.
Still a lot of great information, though, and we appreciate you joining us here.
Sahada's laugh is one that just makes me laugh. Like, your giggle is contagious.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Sadev. We'll try this again sometime.
All right, take it easy. Have a good day.
Enjoy your workout.
That was the hardworking and patient Sadev Sharma. As we continue here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Yeah, sometimes you know how our jacks have shorts.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And if you use something, to be fair, in our business, especially with everything being wired, you know that eventually if you use something enough, it's going to develop a short.
It's going to crap out.
Yes. So, you know, when it's professional, some things take longer time, some things take shorter
time. When it's personal, worst time that can happen, airplane.
There's a whole trend of people going on planes and just not doing anything. And I get it if you like don't love your screen time and you just want to like relax.
Raw dogging flights, right?
Yeah, I just try to stay away from that word entirely.
Oh, okay.
But I am not that person. I need a screen like a child on an airplane.
I don't think you
I'm here
need
to entertain
one. I think
myself.
You prefer one like a child.
That's when I catch up on movies.
Okay, that's fair.
Because I don't do it regularly.
Know. Yeah.
thanks again to Sahadev Sharma. So there's been a lot of questions on our text line and our Twitch chat, and I think they're all good. Because like I said before, if you're thinking about it, there's a very good chance that they thought about it too. What was the trade deadline meaning for the Kyle Tucker contract, for example? What do others in baseball think about the Cubs' moves, or maybe the lack thereof? Jeff Passan was on with Danny Parkins, the ESPN insider. I think he's going to shed some really good light on this. And Jed Hoyer said something to Danny about the future, the actual future, that I think a lot of people might be surprised by. We'll play you both next on Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think what he's done, and you know, it was really impressive. He's had a great year, great last couple months. And as we think about our bench, as we think about roles going forward, I do think that you want those guys to play every day. You want those guys to develop. You don't want to have a top prospect sitting on your bench from May 15th on. But at the same time, that calculus can change a little bit as you go deeper in the season.
Why, you ask, are we talking about the trade deadline at 11:45? Because halftime already passed. This is a short show. We're getting you ready for Cubs baseball here in Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And it's the day after the trade deadline, so we have to talk about it more. That was Jed Hoyer talking about Owen Casey And we bring that up because there wasn't exactly a communicated sense of urgency out of the Cubs' moves. And, you know, Craig Counsell, Marshall, talked about Owen Casey and his last media availability.
Oh, I remember as far as who could be the... I mean, coin flip is still... I guess
outfield depth versus who was coming up if they're not traded versus coin flip.
John Birdie, don't forget, he was the first immediate outfielder. And then, well, who if John Birdie can't go? Well, then it's coin flip.
John Birdie's also my backup set of headphones.
Yes. It's
basically, whatever backup you need on this team, John Birdie was the answer prior to the trade deadline
John
yesterday.
Birdie's got you back. That's the lesson I took away from Craig Counsell overall. But now you've got a guy and a utility guy. And Moises Ballesteros sent down as part of all the transactions, which brought in new players for the Cubs. And you're wondering, are we good? Is Owen Casey going to get come up and get playing time? I don't understand what the roadmap looks like now that the trade deadline has passed as far as how this roster is going to look heading into September.
Right. And then you also said, okay, once you see the Cubs moves, you weren't necessarily thinking... These are not necessarily win-now moves. They aren't necessary. They are help-you-win moves. But it wasn't, say, the statement that we saw Seattle make to try to get Eugenio Suarez for what some argue is 2 months. I would say those 2 months are really hot. But the point being, it wasn't the same kind of communication as far as what they absolutely needed. And then also, when you're keeping your prospects, you know, what do you plan to do with those later? Because we know you only have this 1 year guaranteed of your rental in Kyle Tucker. So, all of that said, Danny Parkins, of course, hosted the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon for the last 24 hours prior to our show. And Jed Hoyer appeared. So, Parkins asked Jed about that uncertainty and this whole concept of, well, why are you keeping some dudes when you rented the big one?
You know, there's this whole thing on Kyle Tucker. Are we going to sign Kyle Tucker? Are they going to sign Kyle Tucker? And he's got this thing that's so valuable, lefty slug. And then you got this guy in Owen Casey who's got this thing that's so valuable in lefty slug. Is that at all connected that you don't know that if Kyle Tucker will be here long term so you can't put Owen Casey in a trade?
Well, certainly, you know, I think Owen's a really good player and he's had a great year and that we think he's going to be a really bright part of our future. And I think that he also can be part of a bright future that you know, involves Kyle Tucker as well. So, they're somewhat connected in a way because I think it's hard to find left-handed slug and you know, he's really performed well and he's still really young. He's a great kid, but it isn't as if we can't have both. And I think that's a great thing. I think it's, you know, when I look around baseball, there's so many teams I think struggle, you know, with their position playing group. And I think we have a really envious group of position players. And that's really, you know, fueled a lot of our success this year is that we play really good defense. We have a great approach at the plate. We have a good offense. We run the bases well. And I think that's something that we want to continue.
Well, 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 how the turntables.
What's tabled or turned or table turned or turntabled in that? What did you see there? What did you hear there? Because you didn't see anything besides the screen in front of you.
I think you're hearing a message being sent as far as the approach being a longer term outlook than what we may have initially thought. You?
Kyle Tucker's coming back? I didn't hear that, unfortunately.
Yeah, here's the thing. Here's what I know. Until that contract is actually signed, I don't know where he's going. It is like that for me. I have no indication that guy wants to be in X, Y, or Z place. And if I can make $600 million, which is what Jim Bowden thinks he could make, not telling anybody where I'm going either.
I don't believe Jim Bowden. I disagree with Jim Bowden.
Do the Mets believe Jim Bowden? Do the Yankees? Like, that's my concern with him, is there's probably a team who does think that. So I don't assume a thing.
The Giants.
There's a market there.
It's a very short list, but it's a curious short list.
All you need is one.
In this case, the Cubs are hoping they are that one. That's the whole point.
So Jeff Passan was also on. He, of course, the noted ESPN baseball insider, the man who, as he puts on Twitter, bombs atomically because he is that good at his information and his comebacks. And he was more optimistic than I think a lot of people are when it comes to the likelihood of Kyle Tucker staying here.
What's the price tag going to be for Kyle Tucker?
I think the over-under is $450 million.
Would you put the Cubs as the favorite?
Yes.
Okay. I like that. All right.
They see what he's done. But I'll tell you what, guys. Owen Casey's still sitting at AAA right now, and he would look pretty good in right field.
Jed told us earlier, he's like, there's no reason we can't have both Owen Casey and Kyle Tucker. So I was like, because Lefty Slug is a valuable...
Pete Crow Armstrong, Andy in half, and Seiya Suzuki. The reason is because you don't have enough positions on the field for them.
Moises Ballesteros, don't leave him out of the party either.
Well, that's why Cubs fans are disappointed. It felt like there was a room to deal from a surplus to go win this World Series.
Yeah. I think that's a totally fair argument. And if the Cubs and the Red Sox similarly can be accused of anything, it's being a little too conservative at this deadline. But man, paying prices at the deadline, it's a really hard thing for teams that try to make good decisions to do, because deadlines are irrational and they create irrational behavior. But I'll say this, this year it wasn't the case, but the Dodgers have been very irrational at deadlines before, and it sure worked out well for them.
That last line says it all, right? That's the thing that Cubs fans are left with.
I'm still dying laughing at Grody saying Moises Ballesteros, who got sent down today.
Yeah, man.
It was perfect. It was perfection.
Also, he was talking about all outfielders and then brought up Mo Baller because he's not playing outfield.
That was 815 earlier.
Perfection.
Layla, 815 on the text line earlier. Good enough to not be traded. Not good enough to be on your actual team as you make a push for the playoffs.
And 630 says, well, I'm more confused than ever. That is a part of it for me. But either way, you can't have the situation happen again where you decide to free up money from, say, Cody Bellinger. And then you want to spend it, but you haven't definitively spent it. Yes.
I could see the Seiya Suzuki thing happening to like Cody Bellinger did last year. I could see that going into the last year of his contract, move him. Now you got more room. Now there is a position for people to play.
But who are you replacing that offense with? Because prior to
Owen Casey,
the All-Star break, he was leading Major League Baseball in RBI.
Owen Casey.
And therein lies the rub. We have more to come here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. I still want to get into what the White Sox did at the trade deadline.
As do I.
Or did not. Five on it next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.